Yeah, good afternoon. I'm Tina Tan. I'm presenting on behalf of the lead author, Rebecca Greeley, who unfortunately was not able to make it to this presentation, to this conference. And the presentation and investigation is related to syringe reuse at an influenza vaccination clinic in New Jersey back in fall of 2015 and the subsequent patient notification and public health response actions. So back in September, late September of 2015, the New Jersey Department of Health was notified by an out-of-state health services company that they had an experienced nurse who had reused syringes for multiple people at an influenza vaccination clinic at Company A in New Jersey. So Company A had hired this health services company to offer on-site influenza vaccine clinics to the company's employees. And one of Company A's vaccine recipients had witnessed the nurse reusing syringes and questioned this practice, brought it to the attention of management of Company A, who then reported the practice to the health services company. And of note, this nurse was licensed in New Jersey and worked as a contract employee for the out-of-state health service company. Now, the same day of the complaint, the New Jersey Department of Health promptly interviewed the nurse to characterize the infection control breach and to assess the risk. Now, this nurse had received vaccine for several other vaccination clinics that the health service company would be administering later. These were all the vaccines were all shipped and stored in the nurse's home, and the employees of Company A were supposed to have received vaccine that was packaged like the manufacturer pre-filled single-dose syringe vaccine. But this nurse had brought three multi-dose vials of vaccine that was intended for another vaccination event. So the nurse had admitted to our state health department that she had reused two syringes found among her vaccine supplies. And she had also reported wiping the syringes with alcohol and using a new needle for each of the 67 people who were getting vaccinated at the Company A's vaccination clinic. Now, as we all know, reuse of syringes for multiple patients with or without changing the needle is a serious risk for bloodborne pathogen transmission. So therefore, clinic participants were recommended to be tested for HIV, hepatitis B, and hepatitis C. And in addition, due to the timeliness of the report of the breach in infection control, literally the day of the infection control, in consultation with CDC, thank you, Dr. Purs, it was also recommended to have participants receive post-exposure vaccination for against hepatitis B. Upon further look at the situation, our department had some additional concerns regarding vaccine administration, storage and handling issues, various concerns related to that. This nurse had used only two multi-dose vials of vaccine, so again, 10 doses of flu vaccine in each multi-dose vial to administer vaccine to 67 individuals. So on top of the infection control breach, there was an underdosing of the influenza vaccine that was administered that day. So we also made a recommendation that, you know, you might want to get a flu vaccine for, you know, the reason that you had come to the clinic in the first place. So due to the prompt report of the infection control breach and the recommendation for the post-exposure hepatitis B vaccine and the need to have participants tested for bloodborne pathogens, we did a patient notification through emails. You know, just logistically, that seemed to make the, given what information that we had and the information that we had access to, the email notification was going to be the most expeditious way for us to do that type of notification. So we worked with the health services company to get a list of the flu vaccine clinic participants, and we maintained that list confidentially so Company A did not know who we were identified and going to be following up. So we sent emails to the impacted Company A employees. We had set up a dedicated email box. And we had our state health department monitor that email box. And in our email notification to the company A vaccine, flu vaccine participants, the email information contained information about the infection control breach. It also included information about the testing recommendations with regard to bloodborne pathogen testing, vaccination, both for hepatitis B and for influenza vaccine, as well as a Dear Doctor letter, so that if individuals who wanted to talk with their own personal physician, that they would have, that the physician would have the particular background of this particular situation. So the next several slides summarize what we did in a timeline form, so you can kind of see how compressed this investigation was and how quickly this all unfolded. So again, it was a Wednesday, September 30th. That's when the infection control breach occurred. That's when our state health department was notified. On the following day, on October 1st, we had several conference calls with CDC, with Company A, the health service company, and the local health department in which the Company A was cited. The decision was made to, use the email notifications on that particular day as well, and we started doing planning for, you know, how do we get people tested, how do we get people vaccinated. On Friday, 2 days after the breach occurred, the State Health Department sent those emails, notifications to the impacted Company A employees by 5 o'clock that day. And so we were all set to take emails over the weekend, as well as we had alerted our on-call staff with regard to, what kind of calls that might come in from these Company A employees. Now, it's important to note that concurrent to all this going on, New Jersey gets hit by hurricanes from time to time, and the fall is certainly a time where we see pretty extreme weather. So Hurricane Joaquin was forecasted for that weekend. So that's why the clinics, public health response clinics were not held over the weekend because, aside from the potential barriers to getting to get tested because of flooding and what have you, our local health department was a little bit distracted because of preparedness activities on that particular day, which actually in some ways worked out really well because it gave us a lot more time over the weekend to work on just-in-time training that we could develop, because we actually also got some HIV and mental health counselors who could come in and help out with the public health response clinics as well, so we wanted to get them up to speed. And as it turned out, over the weekend, when we were after all the Company A employees got the notification, we got several dozen, like about two dozen calls from Company A employees who were expressing some concerns related to having the health service company provide a phlebotomy and bloodborne testing services. So we kind of rethought some of the logistics about how we would go ahead and do that. So we continued to have conference calls over the weekend with our various partners, especially finalizing the clinic plans. And Monday, Tuesday comes October 5th and October 6th. That's when we started then putting together and sending people to the public health response clinics. So we were able to work with an urgent care center that was in the jurisdiction of where the Company A was located, which was able to provide the phlebotomy services, was able to help package the specimens for testing, and then afterwards individuals could then go to the local health department, which then provided the vaccination services. And during both of these days, the mental health and HIV counselors were on site to offer whatever mental health and HIV services, counseling services that individuals might have wanted. Now, this graphic shows that from the time of the breach, that the breach occurred, again, September 30th, to the point that it was reported, to the time that patient notification occurred was only 2 days. And from the time of the infection control breach to the time when people started getting bloodborne pathogen testing and vaccination was only 6 days. And the reason why we emphasize this slide is that this was really fast for us. This happened really quickly in comparison to a lot of the other types of HAI investigations that we usually undertake, which do take a little bit longer. So what were the results? A total of 47 people attended the first round of public health response clinics, with 45 individuals choosing to receive the hepatitis B vaccine. The clinics were very positively received by participants, with the majority of participants seeking out a consultation with mental health and HIV counselors. And based on the test results, the immunity results from the first round of bloodborne pathogen testing, only participants who did not show immunity to hepatitis B needed to have the second dose of the Hep B vaccine series. So there was a follow-up hepatitis B vaccine clinic offered at the urgent care center for those individuals. And so that was roughly about half of the Company A attendees who came the first time around. And finally, after the last clinic was offered in February of this year, where Company A participants had their follow-up blood testing done for HIV, Hep B, Hep C, as well as the final dose of hepatitis B vaccine if they needed it. There were some Company A employees who did choose to go to their own personal physicians for some or all of their follow-up, and unfortunately we don't have information on all of that, but as far as we know, there was no evidence of disease transmission as a result of syringe reuse at the end of our final follow-up. So we had many investigation partners. Again, our local health department was very integral to us. CDC, again, thank you, Joe Pers, and the Immunization Services Division as well, Company A, the out-of-state health services company, and the Urgent Care Center. Haven't talked about it yet, but our New Jersey Board of Nursing was also an integral partner, which I'll get to in a little bit. Now, our partnership with a local urgent care center was a new experience for both the local health department and the state health department because there were limited resources at the local health department level to perform the needed phlebotomy as well as the specimen handling and shipping. And those were things that the local health department simply couldn't do. They were, however, well-equipped to provide the immunization services that were part of this particular response. So that's why the urgent care center was extremely helpful. The out-of-state health services company was willing to financially support having the urgent care center perform the testing, so it all worked out rather seamlessly from the logistics perspective. Now, this particular investigator highlighted several successes, primarily in the communications realm. First and foremost was that we had developed frequently asked questions very quickly, and we kept our updates very timely for the purpose of keeping everybody involved up to speed and on the same page with the information. The just-in-time training that was provided to the mental health and HIV counselors, we think went really well given the positive feedback from the Company A employees. The email patient notification, because of the expediency issue, we first did the email, then we followed up by sending out certified letters. And again, you know, that information, from what we had heard from some of the participants, was that this information was very helpful for them as a resource. We also had 24 hours after hour number and that dedicated email box, which allowed us to facilitate getting really good communication back and forth from those impacted Company A employees. And of course, conference calls with both Company A and the health service company were really integral for keeping everybody, on the same track. Of course, there were always challenges with any investigation, primarily related to jurisdiction and oversight. The health service company was an out-of-state company who hired a New Jersey licensed nurse to perform the on-site flu clinic at Company A. So the New Jersey Board of Nursing was responsible for the nurse's license. The nurse, by the way, had voluntarily surrendered her license within a week. It was about a week after the infection control breach had occurred. So even though the Board of Nursing had been doing their investigation, she had just voluntarily surrendered it concurrent to their investigation. We also noted that there was not any hands-on training or any on-site supervision of the nurse by the health service company. And so, and again, getting back to the jurisdiction issue, our New Jersey Department of Health and the local health department, we had jurisdiction over the response related to the residents of New Jersey and the residents who were, employees of Company A, but we did not have jurisdiction over the health service company. In addition to the infection control breaches, the investigation identified many vaccine storage and handling issues. The vaccines for several vaccination events were shipped from the health services company to the nurse's home, so there was no dedicated refrigerator for vaccine storage at the nurse's home. There was no method to ensure temperature or cold chain was being maintained during the transport of the vaccine to and from the various clinics. So to that end, the one big recommendation from this particular incident is that businesses should be aware of guidelines and vaccine storage and handling guidelines and ensure that they are followed by those guidelines are followed by the immunization service provider that the businesses choose to use. So, the timing of this investigation, coincided with the beginning of flu season. So we took the opportunity, we in CDC took an opportunity to write a notes from the field to highlight the concerns of injection safety issues and also to highlight how proper vaccine storage and handling should be maintained at employee flu clinics, because approximately 17% of adults receive their annual flu shot at their workplace. So it's really critical to have this type of reminder out for companies and to ensure that this all is at the forefront of people's minds. So we had made references to various CDC vaccine storage and handling toolkits just for reference for individuals. Many individuals to thank, and again, another shout out to the primary author, Rebecca Greeley, who just could not be here today. Thank you.
I just have one very quick question. I'm afraid we're not going to have time for questions from the audience on this one. But the employee who identified the syringe use and reported it, did they have healthcare training themselves? Do you know?
Well, what we understand about this particular Company A is that they were a little bit more savvy than the, a typical company. They were in a health-related type of field, so they kind of had that sense. Although, on the other hand, some common sense might prevail in this particular circumstance.
That would go a long way.
Thank you.
Thank you.